Why didn't Daniel just say, all right, if they're going to do that, I'll pray with my window closed. I'll pray at a different time, because time is irrelevant to God. And I'll pray where they can't see me, because it's between me and God anyway. Why didn't Daniel just go and pray differently?
Welcome to Redeemed, a podcast by Pastor Wes Gunther of the Cedar Hill Baptist Church in Dillsburg, Pennsylvania. Thank you for joining us today.
Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6 is the story of Daniel in the lion's den. We're not really going to get to the lion's den. We're going to talk about the things that precluded that, the things that led up to that. But I'm going to read down through it, and then we're going to spend a good bit of time talking about it tonight. Daniel chapter 6, it pleased Darius, the king. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which would be over the whole kingdom. And over these, three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Just, I have to stop there. Wouldn't it be great to find a politician? Right? According to this, he's second in command, right? There's 120. Over the 120, there's three, and he's number one of the three. So he's second in command to only the king, and they can find no dirt on him, nothing. Verse 5, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute. Again, I'm going to stop there. Do you think all of them did? I think there's one that didn't. Okay. To establish a royal statute, to make a firm decree, that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree, sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, notice, as he did aforetime. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now your blessing on the preaching of the word tonight. Lord, as we look into your word, Lord, may we be encouraged. May we see the precedent that's been set by a godly man living in an ungodly environment. And Lord, I pray that it makes a difference in our lives tonight. We thank you. We ask all this in your precious name. Amen. All right, I got a couple slides tonight. I'm going to just use these to kind of preach off of here tonight. But as we come to this story of Daniel and the things that lead up to the lion's den, I think we have a tendency we know the story so well, we know the details so well, that we have a tendency to just kind of gloss over some things, and it doesn't, we don't make it applicable to us today. And with that, Desi and I have been talking a lot about this last week or so, and I think there's a number of things that have happened in the news or in the media and stuff that kind of trigger this too. But why does every generation, and this is a hypothetical question here, or you know, a question I'm not looking for an answer, but why does every generation think that the generation before them were like dumb, right? And we got it all together today. And there's absolutely no way that the next generation is going to think that we're dumb. You know, that's not possible. But we finally got all the answers somehow. And there's that mindset. And so we come down to this story, and I think we think of these rulers and these leaders of Babylon, who, by the way, this is Medes and Persians. This is the Medes and Persian Empire, taken over after Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar and all that. And so here's Darius, head of the Medes and Persian Empire. And they are, these are not dummies. These are not unintelligent men. These are guys of world renown. They're running the most important empire on the face of the earth at that time. And they're doing it without an iPhone. So they're pretty bright. They don't have the technology, right? But they have all the skills and the academia behind them to run this. All these guys. Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were taken out of Jerusalem because they were the brightest, the best. And so they're taken to help make this empire in Babylon the best that it could be. And so these guys mount, listen, a political attack on Daniel. I emphasize that we know that's the reason behind this. They are jealous of his position of power. This guy, who is now an older guy, he's not a young man like he was when he was brought in. He's older now. He's established. He's worked under a few different kings. But he's established himself as a trustworthy and dependable leader. And so each of the kings recognized that and put him in that position. And it's driving everyone under him crazy, right? They want his position. They want his power. I'm sure many of them are nationals. They've grown up in this part of the world. Listen, and here's this Jewish guy brought in from a foreign land, and he's in position over him, much like Joseph, right? When he was put into the high position in Egypt. Here's Daniel being put into this position of leadership. So they decide to mount a political attack against him. We just looked at, they couldn't find any dirt on him. There was no skeletons in his closet. He was an upright, upstanding guy. So they decide to use his faith against him, right? They're going to find a way to mount an attack, a political attack, by using his faith, which was a very open thing. Everybody knew his walk with his God. So that's where they're going to center their attack, to get him out of power and to take that position. The thing that they had the king sign was this, right? No man can petition any god or person except you for 30 days. Now, I've grown up in church all my life, since I was a little kid. And I've heard that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. That seems like a goofy rule, doesn't it? It seems like a goofy thing. Oh, just on the surface, if you don't dig into it, it seems like, here, king, nobody can ask anybody except you for 30 days for anything. And the king's like, well, okay, I'll sign it, right? But what if we lived in a culture where our government wanted us to be dependent upon them for everything? And let's say that our government enacted different policies that said, you know, you need to come to us first for your health care, for your unemployment, for your protection, for your retirement. Everything needs to go through us first. We're going to control these things. You need to come to us and have us go through this first. Well, that doesn't seem too far-fetched in the United States of America today. And so these guys concocted a rule that said, listen, king, for whatever reason, we don't know all the details of their economy at the time, of the political divisions at the time. I don't know what all was going on. But they were able to concoct this idea. Listen, king, why don't we just have people come to us first, the king? We'll go through government first to make sure before we go taxing some of these other organizations, some of these other places of help some of these other places people could go to. It should all come through you first. Not to mention, at this time, the king of Babylon, the king of the Medes and Persians in particular right here, is looked at as a god, is worshipped as a god. Thus, Nebuchadnezzar building that big statue to himself. They're looked at that, so this is not, you know, this doesn't go against that either. And so the king's like, all right, for whatever reason, for whatever good was intended, let's do this. Listen, I'm trying to think of all the things that are going on today, and one that I wrote down was the way our government is meddling in renters right now, right? Because of the emergency of the pandemic, landlords can't kick out a tenant if they're behind on their rent. I know some of those things changed, you know, the last week or two, but I think that was argued by the CDC, and we had to go to the Supreme Court and back and forth. But you can't kick anybody out, and so the government is getting involved in saying what you can do with that. And Forbes magazine just ran a big article that said, expect a lot of this to change between now and 2030. By 2030, landlords' hands are going to be tied. The government will tell you what you can charge for rent. In the state of Wisconsin and Illinois, the first person to come see the apartment must be rented the apartment. The landlord can't say, I don't think so, buddy. No, I don't. Oh, no. First, you know, the government's already involved. So we see the government say, no, we'll take care of this for you. We'll get your tenant for you. We'll cover this for you. We'll take care of it, all right? The king is told, here's the petition. We're all behind this. Lie. We're all behind this. It has the support of all of us. Sign the petition. And the king's looking at it, and for whatever reason, on the surface, politically and culturally, it looks like a good idea. And he signs it. But these guys have one thing in mind, and that is to get rid of Daniel. They're using it for that. So the petition signed. Daniel knows about it, right? We just read that. Once Daniel knew that it had been signed, I think that's an important point. This didn't catch Daniel off guard. It's not like Daniel's like, oh, I didn't realize. Oh, he was well aware of what they were doing. I'm sure he, of all, was aware of why they were doing it and how it would affect him. So Daniel knew, but continued in the things he had always done. He went up into his house. He opened the window. And he prayed like he had 3 times a day, like he had always done. Why? Did Daniel have to pray like that? Is there a biblical rule for that? Do you have to pray 3 times a day at your window? If this petition signed, why didn't Daniel just worship in a different way? Why didn't Daniel just say, all right, if they're going to do that, I'll pray with my window closed. I'll pray at a different time, because time is irrelevant to God. And I'll pray where they can't see me, because it's between me and God anyway. Why didn't Daniel just go and pray differently? Listen, when the government comes to a place where they start telling the churches, we don't want you singing. It's because of the pandemic. You know. We don't want you reciting scripture. It's a state of emergency. We don't want you meeting. We don't want you doing this. We don't want you doing that. Don't want you having kids programs. Don't want your nursery open. Daniel did what he had always done in the way he had always done it. We know the end of the story. Did God bless him for that? Yeah. Daniel could have just changed his method. We know, and I taught this a couple years ago, but the first instance we have is Hannah, when she's praying for a son. She goes to the house of God. The Bible says she prayed, but only her lips moved, right? No sound came out. To you and I, that is just elementary Christianity. We pray quietly to ourselves. But in the Word of God, that's the first time it's outlined for us. There's Hannah. She's praying within her spirit, in her soul. Eli sees her lips moving, but there's no sound coming out. In fact, he even thinks maybe she's drunk. Well, I don't know what she's doing. But she was praying. Now, did God, listen, here's the important part. Did God answer her prayer? 100%. Three Hebrew children were being forced to bow down to an ideology that they did not agree with. And I think we see a parallel to that in our country today. There's ideologies out there that more and more employers, maybe, Desi and I were looking at this week, maybe it's not the employers as much as it's the students in college classrooms, high school classrooms, elementary classrooms that are forced to celebrate Pride Month, forced to celebrate gender whatever, forced to celebrate LGBTQ, XYZ. They add one every day. I don't know where we're at, you know. Seriously, we've made it so confusing. Some of them now call it the LG alphabet soup, you know, because they just keep adding letters. But we have to celebrate that. And so they're celebrating it in classrooms. They're celebrating it in schools. They're celebrating it in college campuses, in college classrooms, employers, places we work for. I don't, thank goodness, but some of you do. What? I don't think it's that far off from the three Hebrew children. Listen, not that there's a fiery furnace at the other end, but there's a, you will agree with this, you will accept this, or else. Or else you don't get promoted, or else you don't get your job.
Thank you for listening to Redeemed. For more information, you can email us at PastorWesGunther@gmail.com. Thank you.